The scripture reading before Mickey's talk is 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 10. 2 Corinthians 13, 1 through 10. This will be the third time I am coming to you. By the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word shall be established. I have told you before and foretell as if I were present the second time. And now, being absent, I write to those who have sinned before and to all the rest that if I come again, I will not spare. Since you seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, who is not weak toward you, but mighty in you. For though he was crucified in weakness, yet he lives by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you are disqualified, but I trust that you will know that we are not disqualified. Now I pray to God that you do no evil. Not that we should appear approved, but that you should do what is honorable, though we may seem disqualified. For we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. For we are glad when we are weak, and you are strong. And this also we pray, that you may be made complete. Therefore I write these things being absent, lest being present I should use sharpness, according to the authority which the Lord has given me, for edification and not for destruction.
The reading of this text, we know that the Apostle Paul has instructed them in times gone by. We've noted in his travels that he traveled to the city of Corinth on his second preaching tour. We note that he had written to them the 1 Corinthian letter from Ephesus, writing to them this second Corinthian letter from somewhere in Macedonia. And having in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, the text tells us, sent Titus on ahead to find out how that the things that he has addressed are going to be received. Paul is very concerned in this 2 Corinthian letter as to what to expect when he arrives there in Corinth. You'll note also in verse 5 of chapter 13, the instructions to try your own selves, or as in the translation from which Joey was reading, examine your own selves, whether or not you're in the faith. Prove your own selves. Now we use this period of time when we come together on singing evenings to offer the Lord's invitation. We don't come together without extending the invitation of the Lord to some who might desire to obey the gospel. But one of the things that we would desire to do in extending the Lord's invitation is to ask you to examine yourself, as we all must do. Examine ourselves. And that's what Paul is urging them to do. But there's more to a self-examination than just saying, well, we need to examine ourselves. We all admit that. But you see, sometimes we get in our own way, do we not? Sometimes we become our own worst enemy, and rightfully so. In James chapter 4, James says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Sometimes we just fail to resist, and consequently we become our own worst enemy. The fault is ours. Jesus said in Matthew 16, verse 24, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. You see, controlling oneself, that becomes the hard part, doesn't it? Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and in verse 27 that it was necessary for him to buffet his own body daily, to bring it into subjection, lest after he had preached to others, he himself should be rejected or be a castaway. Self-control is one of the virtues that the Apostle Peter admonishes in 2 Peter chapter 1 and in verse 6. Well, there's a reason for that. Sometimes our will gets in the way of our self-examination. And unless we examine ourselves, we don't make the changes that need to be made. We have to see where they are. But first of all, in order for a self-examination to be beneficial, it has to be personal. Joey is not telling you to examine Mick. He's telling Joey to examine Joey. He's telling Mick to examine Mick. And the reason for that is, as we see in Ezekiel chapter 18 and in verse 20, the writer says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The father doth not bear the iniquity of the son. The son doth not bear the iniquity of the father. But the soul that sinneth,
it shall die. You see, in order for this examination to be profitable, I have to examine myself to see where I am, to see whether or not I am in the faith, to see if indeed Christ lives in me, if the elements of my life display the kind of life that Jesus is pleased with. Now, there's a reason for that. This examination has to be personal, because when I stand before God in judgment, there won't be anybody to point a finger at. There won't be anybody there to blame. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and in verse 10, 2 Corinthians 5 verse 10, Paul writes, "For we must all be made manifest before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one of you may receive the things done in the body according to what he hath done, whether it be good or bad." Getting back to the analogy of Joey and I, it wouldn't help Joey to examine me when he stands before God in judgment. It won't help me to examine Joey, because Joey will stand before God by himself, and so will me. And so if there's to be any personal gain here, I have to examine myself and make the changes necessary. Romans 14:12 says the same thing. So you see, the question is not whether or not I'm physically strong. That subject is addressed. David and I talk about that every once in a while from 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8, how that bodily exercise profiteth little. It's important. But you see, in this examination, it's not how much exercise do you get. It's not whether or not you're physically strong. And the issue isn't how much of this world's wisdom have I accumulated. You see, secular education can be helpful and beneficial, but secular education often looks at the things that God has to say and calls it foolishness. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and beginning in verse 18. Now, that won't help me. You see, whether or not I'm popular among men, that's not the question. Paul said, if I was still pleasing men, then I would not be a servant of Christ. Galatians chapter 1 and in verse 10. So these are not the question. This self-examination is a personal examination to determine whether or not I'm right with the Lord. Am I in the faith? Am I faithful to God? Now, some time ago, I had a series of lessons on faithfulness, what it means to be faithful. And you see, one doesn't answer that question by saying, well, I'm pretty faithful. Either you are or you're not, and that's just where that is. So that's what that self-examination entails, to see indeed if you are faithful unto the Lord. But that examination has to be by the right standard. Now, that's very important. Why so? Well, sometimes, getting back to the illustration, Joey, and picking on you tonight, it seems that we compare ourselves one to another. And look at what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, in verse 12. He said, "For we are not bold to number or compare ourselves with certain of them that commend themselves, but they themselves, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves with themselves, are without understanding." Well, that's not smart. You see, that doesn't help me. So what if I look at Brother Harvey over here and I say, well, look, Harvey does this, and look at what I'm doing. And so, in my estimation, I'm doing better than what Brother Harvey's doing, so that must make me acceptable to the Lord. No, sir. No, sir. You see, that's not where the judgment is made. I can't examine myself by comparing myself unto others. One cannot examine himself by the standards and doctrines of men. You remember the easy text of Isaiah 55, where the prophet said, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my thoughts higher than your thoughts, and my ways higher than your ways." Comparing the so-called foolishness of God to the wisdom of men in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning in that context of verse 18, man always determines that what God has revealed is foolishness. But to us who are saved, Paul said, it is the power of God. You see, this examination has to be by the right standard. Those of you in our authority class, well familiar with these verses. In Proverbs chapter 14 and in verse 12, "There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is death." You see, if you think you're right, just have this feeling that it must be right, that doesn't make it right. There's a way that seems right, the writer says. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21 beginning, again a familiar text, Jesus said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, did we not in thy name cast out demons, and by thy name do many, mighty works? Thank you. There's one more in that just escaped me. Cast out demons, mighty works, prophesy. There it is. Did we not prophesy in thy name? Love it when that happens. But you see, Jesus said unto them, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you. Here were some that affirmed that the things they did were in his name. They thought it was right, but it wasn't right. Just thinking it's right doesn't make it so. You see, the standard by which we examine ourselves has to be the infallible Word of God. And that's why we've insisted time and time and time and time and time again, read what the text says. Read what it says. In John chapter 12 and in verse 48, John chapter 12, verse 48, Jesus said, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my sayings hath one that judgeth him. The word that I spake, the same shall judge him in the last day. You know, when I was in school and was taking tests, sometimes the teacher would say during the process of instruction, this will be on the test. Sometimes we would have a review of the material the teacher had presented, and the teacher would most certainly say, you will see this on the test. It's going to be on the test. Any of you students ever hear that? This will be on the test. You want to make a special note of that, don't you? Now, friend, you know what's going to be on the test, don't you? These are the words that will judge us in that last and great day. You know the test. Wouldn't it be helpful if you give yourself the examination by the right standard so that when you face Him in that day, He will say, well done, good and faithful servant. That examination, beloved, has to be thorough. You know, it's easy to look at my life and say, well, I've done this right. I've done this right. And I've done this right. And just draw a circle around the things that I know are my weaknesses and don't examine those. Now, friend, we know where our weaknesses are, don't we? We know what's necessary to make us strong. You see, whether you are in the faith is not something to just be assumed. It's something you must know. Paul said, examine your own selves whether or not you're in the faith. Turn, if you will, in your Bible to Psalms chapter 139. Psalms chapter 139. For there the psalmist said, beginning at verse 23, Psalms 139, verse 23, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Could you say that? You willing to take that test? To call upon the Lord, search me and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there's any wicked way in me. You think He don't know? Well, you see, if I want to pass the test, I can't ignore those questions. And I can't ignore those areas of my life. The examination has to be thorough. And a thorough examination means determining whether or not you're growing. Again, these are familiar texts to us in the Hebrew letter, in the 5th chapter, beginning in verse 11, as the writer is discussing the priesthood of Melchizedek. He said, I have many things to say about that, hard of interpretation. He said, because you are become dull of hearing. For when by reason of time you ought to be teachers, you have need again that someone teach you the fundamentals, the rudiments, the basics, the first principles of the oracles of God. Well, you think they didn't know that? Do we know whether or not we're growing? Are you further down the road this time, this point in your life than you were, say, last year? Are you doing more things? Are you serving God to a greater extent? Your knowledge increasing? You know the answer to those questions in the Ephesian letter. In chapter 4 and in verse 14, the writer talks about them being tossed about to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, indicating their need to grow. Well, we know whether we're growing. If we're willing to be thorough in the examination, we know areas in our life that we need to improve. We understand the point that Paul is expressing in Philippians chapter 3 when he said, I press on unto the goal toward the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He knew what direction he was pointed. He knew whether or not he was growing or going onward toward perfection, completion, song we sang a few moments ago indicated that very thing. And my friend, these are questions that have to be on the test. Your examination must be honest. My mother used to use this passage. She said, "Be sure your sins will find you out." I thought that was something mothers just said. But you know, that's a fact. Your sin will find you out. And you need to know whether or not you'll pass the test. It has to be honest. It can't be biased because it's you. Forgiveness is obtained in obedience. John talks extensively in 1 John chapter 1 about walking in the light. We're familiar again with this text. 1 John chapter 1, beginning in verse 7. John writes, or verse 6 it is, he said, "If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in the darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus His Son cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us." Don't you want to take an honest, objective test when you examine yourself to make sure that the things that you say you are, indeed, you are? The wisdom writer wrote in Proverbs chapter 28 in verse 13, beginning, "He that covereth his transgressions shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall obtain mercy. Happy is the man that feareth alway, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief." See, if you're not honest, you're going to mess up. We've got to examine ourselves and be honest in that examination. But one other thought I want us to think about along this line. There's not a place where you can say, "I'm done, I'm finished." Because that examination must be continuous. It's a lifetime examination. And that's why Paul said that it had to be exercised daily. I buffet my body daily to bring it into subjection, lest after I have preached to others, I myself should be rejected. It's something we just have to do. It's a constant, unending process. Now, as we look into the perfect law, James, as we've been discussing in our Sunday evening series on James, James emphasizes the doing. We're to look into the perfect law and not be a hearer that forgetteth, but a hearer that doeth. Now, what's the point in taking a test and finding areas in your life that need to be corrected if you have no intention of correcting them? See, that don't help us, does it? So this examination has to be continuous, a continuous adjustment. Now, when we find sin, John says we need to confess it, to correct it, and the blood of Christ is adequate, sufficient to take it away. You see, John wrote in Revelation 2, verse 10, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life." Be faithful. Now that means examine yourself. You see that? 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. "Examine or try your own selves, whether ye are in the faith. Prove your own selves, or know ye not as to your own selves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed ye be reprobate." Very simple lesson tonight. Very simple points. This self-examination is personal. Nobody can do that for you. This self-examination must be by the right standard. That means you study and learn. And this self-examination must be thorough. You can't give yourself a biased test. That's not fair. You see, it must be honest. And as you do that, you keep at it and make the adjustments necessary as you see the areas that need to be corrected. And then you can anticipate the words, "Enter ye in," you're faithful, to a place that God has prepared for those who are faithful, as we see the judgment scene presented in Matthew chapter 25, beginning in verse 31. You've listened patiently. Appreciate so much your participation in our service this evening. Those of you who are visiting, we're happy that you're here. We'd invite all of you to examine yourselves and make sure that we're doing the things that we ought to be doing. There are perhaps one or more in the audience this evening that need to obey the gospel. The time and opportunity is now. You can do that. Everything is ready. Perhaps you've obeyed the gospel and you've not lived faithfully. Perhaps you need the prayers of the brethren here as you turn from those things that are wrong, and you would like for these brethren to pray for you. That's our desire. If you're subject to the invitation, make that known while together we stand and sing.